Folks, it's springtime, and this week's special at drhoffman.com is Core Restore, a one-stop shop for your detoxification needs. That's Core Restore. Look for it at drhoffman.com and come browse our full selection of great products at drhoffman.com. Click on the store. Welcome to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. And recently, we did an entire program on men's sexuality and natural therapies that could boost sexual response. And so to achieve balance and in fairness, today we're going to focus on women's sexuality and women's sexual response. We're going to talk to an expert. She is Dr. Madeline Castellanos. She's a board-certified psychiatrist specializing in the treatment of sexual dysfunction and the improvement of couples' sex lives or working with individuals. And she has a medical degree. She also has undertaken a psychiatric residency. She's board-certified in psychiatry. She also has a specialization in sex therapy. She has full membership in the Society for Sex Therapy and Research. And she is a frequent lecturer on this subject and is, by the way, located right here in New York City. Is that correct, Dr. Castellanos?
Yes, it is. That's correct.
Indeed. And we'll give you information about her website. Her website is reclaimyoursexuality.com. And also, she has a busy lecture and public appearance schedule. And we can also apprise you of that in just a few moments. But apprise us of the problem here, because, you know, clearly there have been great advances in supporting men's sexual performance. There was a revolution in sexuality. Oh, I guess it was in the late 1990s, right around the turn of the century, when Viagra hit the scene and really revolutionized sexuality for men, virtually guaranteeing sexual performance for men. But when it comes to women, I guess women are perhaps lagging in the race to achieve parity with men on that front. Would you say that's a fair statement?
Well, I don't know about lagging. I think it's much more complex for women than it is for men, which is why pharmaceutical companies have had success in developing treatments for men, but not so much treatment for women. And part of the reason is the way that our brains are wired for sex, which is definitely different for women than it is for men. And right now we see pharmaceutical companies actually trying to develop different medications for women and having mixed results, because women, when they get aroused or they think about sex, it also projects to a part of their cortex where they think about all the other details going on. They're very much worried about what's happening, you know, did I pay my bills? Is the temperature of the room okay?
Right.
And do I look fat today?
Right.
And
oh, I'm feeling bloated, you know, whatever.
All of those things. And women are very, very concerned with all of the little details, which can distract them from focusing on their arousal psychologically. Whereas men can have a lot of concordance between their physical arousal and their psychological arousal. And the excitement, the arousal part of their brain projects to a part of their brain that focuses on the big picture. They just want to get it done.
Okay. Very achievement, goal-oriented behavior, shall we say.
Very much so. But there's also been interesting studies showing that when men and women both have been shown visual stimuli that have caused them to have physical arousal, the men have a very high correlation between their physical arousal and their psychological arousal. However, women have been found to have physical arousal responding to all kinds of visual stimuli, but the women themselves were not aware that they were aroused and pretty much checked off, no, I'm not psychologically aroused at all. I don't really have desire. except in very few cases. So what this shows us is that even though women may be having a physiological response, psychologically, they're not in the same place. So Viagra...
So the implications are that is this trying to tell us that men may be more immediately in touch with their sexual feelings, and whereas women may, you know, be in some way disconnected from their sexual feelings in some fashion?
I would say that men are much more directly aware of their arousal, and when they are physically aroused or when they take medications such as these PDE5 inhibitors, Viagra, Cialis, Levitra, they get an erection, and then they actually can enhance their arousal, their psychological arousal, because of the physical state.
Mm-hmm.
Once they get an erection, they say, oh, okay, now.
There's some telltale signs of arousal in men that I think cannot be ignored. And in women, perhaps it's a more subtle physical situation.
Most of the erectile tissue for women is internal.
Internal, right.
And these medications actually have a very similar effect for women as they do for men. They will allow the erectile tissue to become engorged with blood when there's physical stimulation. The issue is that the women don't usually get to the point where they have physical stimulation to find out if their erectile tissue gets engorged. And even if it does, it doesn't necessarily correlate with them wanting to have sex. So there's a lot that has to happen, which is why there's not going to be a magic bullet. It's a little bit more complex for women than it is for men.
Yeah. So I've heard it said, and I think this is probably a gross oversimplification, and I don't want to seem facile, but I've heard it said that the main sex organ for women is between the ears. It's the brain, and not as it's not between the legs. It's between the ears.
Absolutely, I think that can also be true for men, as I see many, many men who have difficulty with erectile functioning simply because of anxiety or other reasons why they could have lack of desire, and biologically they're okay. So the brain has so much to do with our sexual response, and I think, of course, the pharmaceutical companies wish that wasn't the case because
right.
It could be so much more easy.
Right. And by the way, this is one of the holy grails of the pharmaceutical industry, because look at the sales of men's sexual medications, erectile dysfunction drugs like Viagra, Cialis, Levitra. And if they could come up with a surefire medication for women that would guarantee arousal and orgasm 100%, that would be a multi-zillion dollar breakthrough for the pharmaceutical industry. And yet, perhaps you can catalog the sad chronicle of failure in terms of some of these clinical trials on medications for women's sexual dysfunction.
Yeah. I also want to point out that some of the medications, as I said, like the PDE5 inhibitors, Viagra, Cialis, Levitra, they do have an effect on women. It's just that the end result is not the same for women as for men. But physically, it really does work in a very similar way. And so testosterone has also been tried. Men can get testosterone supplementation, but women, too, can get testosterone supplementation.
Mm-hmm.
And it does actually have some effect for women, especially after menopause when their testosterone levels really do start
right.
to drop
or,
off.
Or I've noticed in my patients who've had hysterectomy, testosterone really can be very beneficial for restoring sexual function, because when you have your ovaries taken out, your hormones really crash. I mean, it's one thing to have a hysterectomy where you just have the uterus taken out, the ovaries stay, but when you are going through natural menopause, you know, there's a reduction in hormones, not a complete surgical excision or castration that right. causes the hormone levels to just plummet.
Right. I mean, exactly. We do also get some testosterone from our adrenal glands located just above our kidneys, but when you have a surgical menopause and they remove the ovaries, that change is dramatic, and the adrenals can't pick up the pace quickly enough, and they won't. They won't pick up the pace quickly enough. But of course, because women are more complex and they think about sex in a different way than men do, testosterone, what I tell women when they come to me asking about testosterone is I say, well, my experience is that testosterone gives you back motivation, gives you back that kind of drive and oomph. And if you enjoyed sex before, and if you want to have sex again, then testosterone will help bring mm-hmm. that back.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the caveat is if you didn't enjoy it, or you had relational problems, or you have no interest, whatever, and didn't before when your testosterone levels were good, replacing your testosterone may give you more motivation to do other things, but it may not necessarily bring the sex drive back.
Mm-hmm.
So
it may help you. It may help you in the gym, but it may not translate to brighten your outlook or your overall motivation, shall we say, but perhaps not translate to improvements in sexual response.
Right, because I think it's going to motivate women to do those things that they enjoy, that they are motivated to do. But, you know, Ron, what's interesting is we learn to not like sex if we get sex that we don't like.
Yeah, it's a negative feedback loop.
Exactly. It happens when you have sexual pain. It happens when you don't like the way that your partner's treating you. Or it can even happen when you have the expectation that you're going to get pleasure and release, and then you don't.
Mm-hmm.
And experience frustration instead. And so after having that repeatedly, the brain actually learns to not pay attention anymore and really to lose desire for sex.
Right. And well, so look, there's a lot of misinformation out there, and I think, unfortunately, people get their sex education via movies, or these days with prevalent pornography. I think the average 9-year-old with a mobile device can pull up, the most outrageous pornography that, perhaps in my generation, you had to watch on a Super 8 film projector that you had to set up in your basement surreptitiously.
Yeah.
It wasn't that easy in my day, or maybe
right.
sneak a copy of Penthouse magazine. But you have the myth that all women are, immediately sexually arousable, very, very responsive, 100% orgasmic, that they perform all kinds of sexual acrobatics and enjoy virtually every form of sexual expression. That's a tough thing to live up to if you're a woman.
It really is. Pornography is really putting out there unrealistic expectations about what we should look like, and our attitudes towards sex, as well as our behaviors in sex. And I think one of the saddest things for me is when I hear these young women saying, "I feel like I have to do these things and act this way because if I don't do it, then my partner's not going to be interested in me, and they're going to find someone else who will do it."
Mm-hmm.
So there's this external, measure that they're trying to equal. And, sex is such a personal act. I really encourage people to put aside that external measure of pornography, because sometimes you have to dissociate yourself from your own feelings. You have to separate yourself from what you feel in order to be able to do something if it's not really what's coming from you. So I really encourage people to look at what they're curious about, look at what gives them pleasure, and follow those signs, not necessarily those external measures.
Right.
And that can be quite difficult nowadays, especially when you grow up with those expectations all around you.
Mm-hmm. And, obviously, to a lesser extent, I think, for men, but perhaps to a greater extent for women, there's an emotional component. And if you're simply not getting along with your partner, with men, maybe it's more mechanical, sort of mechanistic. It's like, we'll discharge our sex drive, and it's a matter of hydraulics, and if necessary, we'll use erectile dysfunction medication. But with women, if there is a, shall we say, an emotional block, some form of unresolved relationship issue, it can sure get in the way.
Absolutely. I mean, for the same reasons that I mentioned before about how women are more easily distracted, it's not to say that men aren't affected by some of these things. However, it's much more straightforward for them, and they are much more easily able to compartmentalize and objectify. And I don't mean objectify in a negative way, because women will immediately respond to this and say, "No, men shouldn't objectify women, it's horrible." But it's actually the way that their brains are set up so that they can be focused on the task. So they may just think of a certain body part or, a certain look, because they need to be relieved of the emotional burden, right, of connecting with somebody on that level to be able to just focus on the task. But women aren't wired that way. Women are wired to focus on all of those emotional nuances. So anything that's happening with them emotionally, either how they feel about themselves or how they feel about their partner, is going to affect their sexual arousal and functioning. So that's a big difference that I think people try to simplify, and it's just part of the complexities of who we are.
Indeed. And there's also a lot of misconceptions about orgasm. A lot of women are taught to expect that they can be orgasmic every time they have sex, or multi-orgasmic, and that's the standard that they have to live up to. But sometimes it just doesn't work out that way. It seems to be easier for men to have an orgasm, ejaculate, and end of story, but that may not match the female's physiology.
It could be, there's a lot of individual variation, and part of it has to do with whether a woman has learned what she likes and is able to translate that with a partner and be able to relax enough to be able to get there with a partner, because she has to be relaxed, and her sympathetic nervous system or her fight-or-flight response that gets activated with any anxious thoughts, that has to be completely calm for the parasympathetic nervous system, the part of her nervous system that has to do with arousal, to really predominate. And so, you know, if she learns how to do that herself, give herself pleasure to the point of orgasm, she can teach her partner, or she can do that for herself with her partner. So it's much more easy if she has already learned to do that. But, again, a lot of individual variation. Some women are very easily orgasmic on their own, but because of the anxiety of maybe getting to that level with their partner, they can't translate that into having it with their partner. The other issue, too, which is a much larger issue, is, you know, external stimulation versus internal stimulation and the many different kinds of orgasms that women can have.
Okay, I think that this is a good point at which to break. When we return, we're going to take up a proposition that, you know, could be quite a breakthrough in female sexuality. It's a new device. Scientists say they have patented a new machine that will provide orgasms for women at the push of a button. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Stay tuned for part two of our discussion of female sexuality. This is Intelligent Medicine.